Rich Kimble, Kerry Haskell here with you. Our next guest on the program played baseball for the University of Maine, where he put up some incredible numbers there, went on to a 14-year career in the major leagues, and these days, and for many years, has been a sportscaster with Fox Sports San Diego, also the host of the Major League Beginnings podcast. We're so happy to welcome Mark Sweeney to the program. Mark, how are you?
Rich, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on. It's always special when you know you're talking to a lot of great people up in the state of Maine.
Well, it's great to hear from you. We've got some tremendous memories of your days at Maine, and we'll talk about those a little bit later. But let's talk about what you do and what you've been doing for many years now with Fox Sports.
Yeah, it's been a blessing in disguise. When you're finished your career, you're always wondering and searching for what you can give back and how you can stay in the game. But also, I played my whole career being single. So a family was very important for me first and foremost. So ended up getting married a year after I finished playing, got into the front office with the Dodgers with Ned Colletti, the GM at the time, and kind of made that transition of where I was going to go and try to help that out. But more importantly, I married a sweetheart of a lady, Cindy Whitmarsh, and she had two girls already, 9 and 6. So getting into already established family and knowing that I was going to have to take on the responsibility of girls and also try to maintain that baseball aspect of it was a challenge in itself. But, man, I am blessed to have two beautiful girls, and we also have a 9-year-old together at the time now with a 9-year-old boy together, which is really the icing on the cake for me. But I've traveled in through the Dodgers, and then I transitioned into doing some TV work with Fox Sports San Diego, and I'm blessed to do it.
And tell us about the podcast, Major League Beginnings.
Yeah, this is kind of an interesting aspect because my career was really the relationships and all the people that helped me along the way, even including starting at the University of Maine, knowing you had that opportunity when I signed out of college to go and take on that leap of faith and try to achieve your dream of getting to the big league. So that's where it originated. Our thought process on the podcast is basically all the people that comprise the sport of baseball, but it's centered around every individual's call-up. And that call-up story is really interesting to me because there's so many crazy ones. You know, whether you're in AA or AAA and you get that call and you finally make it, and then you're getting into that clubhouse. And then the journey really begins with your major league career. So that's our premise. We've had some great guests. We've done probably 40 podcasts, and it's called Major League Beginnings, as you mentioned. It's one of those things that really makes you feel good. For example, we just did David Wright of the New York Mets today. That will be coming out either next week or the week after. But we've had so much fun. We've had Hall of Famers. We've had spectacular players. And also people in and out of the game. Sideline reporters. Really, it's a plethora of so many people that can talk to you about those baseball stories that are never ending, and it's always fun to listen to.
That's fantastic. Well, we'll make sure to tag the podcast on our website when we post the interview as well. Let's talk about the coming season of Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred says we're planning on a 162-game season, ready to roll, and some teams have been pretty proactive, including the San Diego Padres. They have positioned themselves quite nicely.
Yeah, it's really a blessing in disguise. It was almost Christmas, and it was a Christmas week for the San Diego Padres. But to get back to your point, I think Rob Manfred in saying that the possibility of 162 games and spring training can go on time, we're crossing our fingers. Because when you get in a position of what everyone around the world has gone through, it's one of those things you're hoping that you can get through without the changes. Also, we all know that without fans, it's really not the best experience when you're thinking about the game of baseball. That is really the common denominator of why the sport is so great, is having fans in the stands. So I think that is a priority. Getting back to the Padres, they have a lot of pitching, and it's really exciting time. And they have a prize shortstop named Fernando Tatis Jr. that is electrifying. He's a organizational, he changes the dynamic of the organization so much. And then you start looking at to his right, you got Manny Machado. That's a pretty good start on the left side of the infield.
Over in the American League, too, I don't know that anybody has improved themselves as much as the Chicago White Sox are picking up Liam Hendricks, adding him to their bullpen yesterday. They look like they're positioned to make a pretty good run.
Yeah, and you know what? My old manager in St. Louis Cardinals, Tony La Russa, is taking on that challenge as well. I'm excited for the Chicago White Sox. A lot of it's been Chicago Cubs, and the White Sox have not been talked about since, I think, 05 is when they were won the World Series. But this is exciting for baseball. You're seeing a change in some of the organizations trying to get that opportunity. And sometimes it takes a long time, Rich. The San Diego Padres are in that position, too, where you have to really be calculated in the moves that you're making. You can't just go out there and buy a championship. You have to develop guys that are surplus, and you can go out and acquire guys like Blake Snell and Yu Darvish to make yourself competitive, because everyone knows if you're talking the Chicago White Sox, you're talking about the San Diego Padres, no matter if you're in the National League or American League, I think everything's going to go through the Los Angeles Dodgers because they're that talented and coming off a World Series championship.
We're talking with Mark Sweeney here on Downtown. In terms of rules changes from what we had in the abbreviated season, do you think we're looking at a likely universal designated hitter this coming year?
You know what? That's going to be an interesting aspect. I think the players' union is holding on to that bargaining chip, and they know where it's going to go, because I think the following year it's definitely going to be in. I hope it is, and it's strange for me to say that because I made a living in being a bench player, a pinch hitter, coming off the bench. It's that aspect that I think people, if you're going to go to the game and you're going to watch Mookie Betts play, and if somehow he has an off day the day that you're buying tickets, and he can't play, I think that's a travesty. I would rather see him DH, even though he's getting off his legs. I want to see him play. I want to see the stars of the game play as much as possible, and I think that DH comes in. As you know, I think a lot of people's perception of the designated hitter is David Ortiz, because he's the example of what Boston Red Sox fans watched year in and year out. I think a lot of managers now would like to have the luxury of being able to keep their stars in the game, but also know that they don't have to take a full day off. They just have to take a defensive day off, and that gives them the ability to have four or five at-bats.
And what did you think of the rule this season of putting a man on second base in extra innings?
You know what? I like that aspect. It brought a different dynamic that it was exciting. I understood what they were doing with it. Borderline, I'm a very, very much a traditionalist, so I don't love it. I hope it's something that they adapt to in the regular season, but I don't want to see it in the postseason. I think it's just an aspect that hopefully that kind of goes away, because when you're playing substantial games at the end of the year, you want every opportunity. You want to be able to earn everything. And I think just placing a guy at second base is a weird situation. I think it worked for the 60-game season for sure.
Let's go back to your time as a Maine Black Bear. You came to Maine from Holliston, Mass., as I recall. And mm-hmm. People may not remember that you came here originally to play football.
Yeah, Rich, Jack Cosgrove was the quarterback's coach at the time. Came down to Holliston, and he said, hey, how about a recruiting trip up to Maine? So I went up there, and I said, Jack, you know, I'm still kind of deciding on if I want to play football and baseball. He said, well, why not play both? So I literally went up there, and I met the great John Wankin for the first time on my recruiting trip for football. And it was the coldest weekend of the year. I just absolutely fell in love with Orono, University of Maine. I just felt at home. And I remember getting off the plane, getting back to Boston, and my mom and dad were anxiously awaiting how I felt. And I said, you know what? That was the greatest time, and I know that's the place I need to be. I got to meet John Wankin, as I said. Bob Whalen, who is the head coach at Dartmouth, was the assistant coach at the time. Mike Coots was there. It was just a perfect place for me to go and be able to try to play both. And they had a guy at quarterback named Mike Buck at the time. I didn't think I was going to take some playing time from him as a quarterback myself. So it was an easy transition. I thought it was the best decision to make. And finally, I full-time with baseball was the greatest decision I've made in my career. I just absolutely knew that whether I was playing football or baseball, University of Maine was the perfect place for me.
You mentioned Bobby Whalen, and it reminded me of a story. I was working one of the summer baseball camps, and this was the the year after Bobby had gone to Dartmouth. And well, the coaches would be out there, and then Wink would come out to address the players every morning. And he came out, and Teddy Novio had managed to acquire for all of us T-shirts that said Bobby Whalen Baseball School, and we all had those on when Wink came out. But Bobby,
I'm sure Wink didn't really appreciate that too much. But you know what? If Ted Novio is doing it, my former roommate, who I absolutely love to death, if he's putting out a T-shirt like that, I think there was a definite reason for having.
We've got a restaurant here in town named after Teddy Novio.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, my friend Bob Cutler opened a fantastic restaurant downtown, and Bob was in the baseball program and coached for a while up there as well, and he's got a little restaurant named after Teddy called Novio's Bistro.
I absolutely love it. No one more deserving. But I tell you what, you know what, Rich? The experience that I had up at University of Maine, obviously the fans and the people that surround University of Maine, but my teammates, I can't say anything more. We still continue to check in with one another. It's usually a text chain that we have. You know, it's Novio, it's Chuck Netto, it's Ed Terrian, all of these guys that we experienced baseball with. That was the reason why University of Maine was special. Mm-hmm. We obviously won a lot of games, but you got to have teammates. You got to have that camaraderie. And those are relationships that will never end in my book because of the University of Maine was so special.
Well, and you had such an outstanding major league career, hanging around 14 years in Major League Baseball, but also putting up some very impressive numbers along the way. And I knew you had been a good postseason performer, but then I went back. And this is not a small sample size, Mark. 17 postseason games. You have a career postseason batting average of .357, for crying out loud.
Well, Rich, thank you. I was prepared, and I can honestly say this. University of Maine prepared me to work as hard as I could, to hang on, to stay on. I was the guy that wanted to play a day in the big leagues, and I continued to work at my craft, and I had a lot of people behind me. So I think you need that. You need to understand that sometimes it feels like a daunting task to go and perform and play 14 years. It didn't feel that way to me because my preparation and what I learned from the University of Maine, those aspects that were driven in me through countless times of Mike Coots in the batting cage and throwing batting practice to me, these were people that really made it fun for me. And that's what it was. My whole career was working hard, but also knowing that you can achieve anything. And for kids out there to know that they can go from the University of Maine, they can go from Southern Maine, there's all kinds of different programs. It really has everything to do with your work ethic and how you prepare and go out there and why not? There's going to be a lot of doubters out there, but you always have to try to prove them wrong.
Well, we've enjoyed watching your baseball career, but also your career as a sportscaster as well on those occasions when the national feed will get you on there in a Fox Sports national broadcast. We love seeing you there. And I'm going to, as soon as we're off the air, get myself subscribed to the Major League Beginnings podcast as well. Mark, it's great to talk with you again.
Rich, thank you very much. And for all the people in Maine, thank you for making a guy from Massachusetts feel very special. I enjoyed my time up there.
Mark, thank you so much. Be well, stay safe, and we'll try and catch up with you during the baseball season.
Thanks, Rich. I appreciate it.
That's Mark Sweeney with us on Downtown.